Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician of body and soul. Once again, welcome back to Health Matters. I'm your host, Juliana Krieger, and in this show, we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. To start with, we will speak to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. In the second part, we'll go to Pastor Lynn Hansen, who considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. Overall, both doctor and pastor want to give guidance and comfort to the burdened and weary soul and to remind them that God is with them and for them, whatever comes their way. Last week, we talked about dialysis. Thank you all for your feedback. We welcome back Dr. Andrew today to talk to us about painful shoulders. What are the causes of the inconvenient painful shoulder?
The shoulder is quite a complex joint. In fact, it's only attached to the rest of our skeleton by the clavicle. The rest of the shoulder joint is actually attached by muscles via the scapula. Virtually everybody has problems with their shoulder at some time in their lives. It's probably one of the most common causes of seeing your GP. The prevalence of shoulder pain is around 20%. In other words, one in five of us at some time in a year will have significant problems with our shoulders. It's made worse by the job you do. Quite often using vibrating tools can be bad. Psychological factors can affect sort of things such as job pressure and social stress. Athletes who use their shoulders quite dramatically, for instance, javelin throwers, would obviously have problems occasionally. And certainly people who rely on their upper body strength for their job, such as bricklayers, welders, scaffolders, hairdressers, and people like that, have significant problems from time to time. It's important to actually look at the shoulder itself. Sometimes there are problems due to the actual, it's called a glenohumeral joint, the joint where the arm inserts into the socket of the shoulder. Sometimes the problems are due to the biceps tendon as it crosses over the front of the shoulder. Sometimes it occurs because of other illnesses, such as something called polymyalgia rheumatica, which is a strange inflammatory illness of the middle-aged and elderly. And sometimes, very, very rarely, sneaky things such as apical lung cancers can present in this sort of way, as can heart disease. Most patients are usually between 35 and 75. The problems with the tendons at the front of the back of the shoulder are the usual cause of the problem. There's usually a painful arc. And you may wonder what on earth I mean by that. If you sit in your chair, and you dangle your arm, and you move your arm out to 30 degrees, there's virtually no movement of the scapula. But as you move your arm up, it begins to move up. And in fact, to put your right arm completely up, you have to rotate your arm around. As a consequence, if you tear some of the important muscles that cause rotation, then this can cause a significant painful problem in your shoulder. Sometimes, because you've used your shoulder a great deal in your life, I do remember a patient of mine who used to work as a baker, and you may wonder what on earth a baker can have problems with his shoulders. But he used to have to move large bags containing flour, and these used to weigh 50 lbs, and he spent many years moving these around. His shoulders became completely worn out, and he developed a lot of adhesions in the capsule of the shoulder, and it caused a lot of pain. Sometimes you get problems in the joint between the clavicle and the shoulder itself, and these are quite often occur because you've fallen heavily on the shoulder in the past. Several of my patients have developed their problems through falling off their motorbikes. Gravity can be nasty. I think quite often it's important to take a good history from a patient. How did it start? Is it acute or chronic? How does it affect your life? Is there anything else associated with it? What drugs do you want at the moment? Any previous history I need to know? But then you need to examine this shoulder. examination of the shoulder is quite an interesting and complex thing to do. It's quite often important to get people as close to nakedness in the top half of their body as possible, simply because you need to be able to look at the muscles associated with the movements of the shoulder. Especially at the back, you can see whether the rotator muscles have shrunk away when you look at the back of the shoulder. And then look and feel the shoulder as it extends up and comes down. Quite often, you can have an impingement, usually in people who are 50 or older, because you can feel it. As they put their arm up, there's a big clunk associated with pain as the arm comes down. These people actually do need to see a surgeon for an operation. In general, people don't need a great deal of investigations. X-rays are pretty pointless. The examination is the important thing. Management, well, in view of the fact that we all get shoulder problems, and these usually are self-limiting, sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. Just advise the patient as to what's happened and see if they just improve on their own. The use of anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen can be used. I don't find they're a great deal of help. It's certainly true that physiotherapy in general does not help with shoulder problems, but it is sometimes offered to patients. I think in general, if you find evidence of some sort of tear in the musculature, you really need to think about sending them to see an orthopedic surgeon with a view to maybe them having an operation to have it repaired. But quite often, injections of steroid, whether into the front of the shoulder joint involving the biceps tendon or the back inserting into the joint itself, can improve things a great deal for patients. And one of the good things as a GP is the ability to offer these things to patients and have them come back and see you 10 days later saying it was magic and it worked. Mind you, quite often you have to explain the first 24 hours sometimes is more painful. So try not to see them within 24 hours. See them after a week when they're grateful and they've forgotten the pain.
How about the long-term use or consumption of oily fish or pills to help with the joints and the cartilage? Does that help?
It's a lovely thought that by swallowing some sort of oil, we'd oil our joints. If that were so, we'd all be drinking Castrol GTX or something. No, it is fairly simplistic to think that swallowing oils will help oil our joints. There's no evidence that this works, although you have to remember that these sort of problems have a lot of placebo effect on them, so that you will have a bunch of people who will swear blind that it works. But there's no evidence using properly designed trials to show that it does help. But I always say to my patients, I'm very glad that you'll continue to take fish oils for your joints. It does nothing for your joints, but it's pretty good for your heart. So keep doing it. And if you think it's doing your joints better, well, all well and good.
What are the long-term psychological effects for someone who has to deal with a painful shoulder?
It's really if it affects their ability to work. You know, if you're a man who's used his muscles all his life and is used to, say, being a bricklayer or something, and he gets to 45 and finds he's worn his shoulders out, he's really in a position where he needs to think about changing his job, which often is very, very difficult, or throttling back and no longer working as hard as he has been. And this can be difficult for some people. In the past, in times long ago, when we had no treatment, it was always said that shoulders took half a year to get better and 6 months if you treated them. In many ways, these problems are self-limiting and will actually get better with rest. But the time it takes is much longer than the patient wants.
Thank you. Let's take a break, but stay with us as we welcome back Pastor Lynn Hansen after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies. They really helped me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
Redeemer Theological Academy, a program designed to help Christians articulate what they believe and why they believe it, and to enable them to confess the faith that was handed down from the apostles. Redeemer Theological Academy, confessing Christ to an unbelieving world, with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer, every Friday on Lutheran Radio UK. Go to our website for times and podcasts.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people. We're back with Health Matters. Let's turn to Pastor Lynn Hansen to share his experience in the spiritual care of people affected by painful shoulders.
Let us begin with prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Amen. Whether the joints be shoulders, knees, hips, or elbows, the pain is disabling. It just hurts to do things. Painful shoulders keep us from lifting, carrying, basically any movement involving the arms. Worse yet, painful shoulders keep us from sleeping. Some of us like to sleep on our side. The pain prohibits us from doing this. Just today, I visited a patient who suffered from painful joints. Over the past year, this man was hospitalized numerous times for joint pain. When I visited Bob, not his real name, I asked how things were going for him. He was not happy. Constant pain, multiple hospitalizations, numerous medications, various treatments, and therapies all wore him down. Bob looked at me and said, "Chaplain, I am just tired of being in a hospital bed." Often patients say to me, "I just can't do what I used to do." Each day I visit patients prior to them entering surgery. On several occasions, I met patients who worked in building trades. Their joints were worn out. They needed repair. One man said his shoulders hurt constantly. I asked why. He explained his vocation of equipment operator. He didn't do any heavy lifting or carrying or pounding. He suffered injury from repetition, continuous use of his arm and shoulders to move levers. Well, let us turn to God's Word. Please turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And getting into the boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing your thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given much authority to men. Throughout Jesus' ministry, we see the same type of events over and over. People come to Jesus to be healed of what afflicts them in body, mind, and soul. The first thing Jesus did was to forgive them of their sin. Then Jesus removed the affliction, thereby healing the believer. Time and again, we saw the Jews, the religious leaders of Jesus' time, trying to find fault in what Jesus did. There are several points for us to remember. 1. Jesus came to redeem us from our sin. That is what is most important to us. Our greatest affliction is the curse of our own sin. Through Jesus' atonement, we receive forgiveness. 2. If forgiveness weren't enough, Jesus heals. He didn't heal everybody. He doesn't heal everybody. Peace and comfort come from knowing that through Jesus we have forgiveness of sin and that He will never leave us nor forsake us. 3. People hated Jesus then. People hate Jesus now. Even though He brought life and salvation, even though He continues to bring life and salvation, people despise Jesus and literally hate Christians. This is a fact we must live with. Thankfully, God sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to guide us as we live out our lives upon this earth. Realize, life as a Christian carries with it no promises of complete joy. We will suffer along with everybody else. The joy for a Christian is that we have forgiveness of sins, redemption, and the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't dwell on the today. We look forward to eternity, where there will be no more sin, no more suffering, no more sadness, but unending joy with all the saints in heaven. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious God and Father, You know our needs, our wants, our desires. You know what afflicts us. You alone know how difficult life is for us suffering from a life-threatening disease. Help us to live a life that is pleasing to You. Grace us with peace of mind, knowing that You care for us in all circumstances. If it be Thy will, remove from us that which afflicts us in body, mind, and soul. Bless us with the work of Your Holy Spirit in our lives to guide and direct our ways. These things we pray through Christ Jesus, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to continue to read and study God's Word. This week, read more of Jesus' miracles in the Gospel according to St. John. Listen to God speak to you through His written Word. I encourage you to gather with other Christians for worship and fellowship. If you don't have a church home, contact the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England or Lutheran Radio UK to locate a parish near you.
Thank you, Pastor Lynn, speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota. We will come back with Dr. Andrew and Clinical Chaplain Lynn Hansen next week to talk about contraception. Please email us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk with comments you might have. At our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, you can find previous podcasts of this show. Find us under Program, and also take a look at our other shows. Goodbye and until next time.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.